some good old friends here tonight, and not going to name names. I get in trouble when I name names, and most of the time I can't remember names anyway, so some of you know what that's about. You ever get excited when you read this book?
Yes, sir. Amen.
I got excited today. I really did. I told Mark this evening, I said, I think I'm more excited about preaching tonight than I have been all week. And it's just because God has just really spoken to my heart tonight, and I pray that He'll be able to get me out of the way and share with you a little bit of what He would have us to have here in this place this evening. I'm going to start over in the book of Luke, chapter 11, verse 31, and then we're going to go back to 1 Kings, chapter 10. For those of you that are quick on the trigger, some of these kids in their sword drills, they'll be able to find both of them before some of us can find one of them. Good singing.
Yeah, good singing.
It's been good all week. It really has. It's been a joy and a privilege and a pleasure to be here. Luke chapter 11, verse 31. I'm pretty good at just giving the chapter and the book and not giving the verse, but Luke 11, 31. It says here, the queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment with the men of this generation and condemn them. For she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, a greater than Solomon is here.
Amen. Amen.
A greater than Solomon is here. Remember, I don't remember which service it was. I told you a little bit about Solomon. How Solomon, God asked him what he wanted, and Solomon told him he wanted a heart full of understanding and wisdom, and God gave that to him, and it gave him everything that he didn't ask for. And you know, and that's the kind of God we serve. I mean, He's good. He's benevolent. He loves to gift His children whatever it is they need in this life.
Right.
But I got to reading in the book of 1 Kings chapter 10 about the story of this queen of the south that Luke 11 talks about. And that's the queen of Sheba. And Queen of Sheba came to see old King Solomon. The queen came to meet the king. And I got to reading this, and I got to thinking about it, and Mark, I never realized that this is a perfect picture of a sinner and a Savior.
Yeah.
It's a perfect picture of a sinner and a Savior. This whole book's full of perfect pictures.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But this one just really, it rang my bell today. It really did. I just enjoyed reading it, studying it, looking it over, and all of that. And I'm going to read the first 13 verses in Luke chapter 10. And then we'll come back and we're going to talk about them a little bit, preach on them just a little bit, okay? Father, I come to you in prayer right now, God, and just simply ask that you would get me out of the way, and Lord, that you would speak to me and through me once again. Father, we thank you for the service that we've had thus far. And now, God, we want to hear from you. Lord, we want you to speak to our hearts. Give us open ears, Lord. Give us a heart to receive and plant that word deep in our hearts, Lord. And Lord, not only plant it, but let it take root and let it grow and let it bear fruit, God. Let it be, let it make a difference. And Father, I pray that we'll leave here a different people than what we came, for we ask these things in Jesus' name. And amen.
Amen.
All right, let's read together. It says, "And when the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to prove him with hard questions. And she came to Jerusalem with a very great train, with camels that bear spices and very much gold and precious stones. And when she was come to Solomon, she communed with him of all that was in her heart. And Solomon told her all of her questions. There was not anything hid from the king which he told her not. And when the queen of Sheba had seen all Solomon's wisdom and the house that he had built and the meat of his table and the sitting of his servants and the attendance of his ministers and their apparel and his cupbearers and his ascent by which he went up unto the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. And she said to the king, it was a true report that I heard in mine own land of thy acts and of thy wisdom. Howbeit, I believed not the words until I came, and mine eyes had seen it. And behold, the half was not told me. Thy wisdom and prosperity exceeded the fame which I heard. Happy are thy men. Happy are these thy servants, which stand continually before thee and that hear thy wisdom. Blessed be the Lord thy God, which delighteth in thee, to set thee on the throne of Israel, because the Lord loved Israel forever. Therefore made he thee king to do judgment and justice. And she gave the king 120 talents of gold and of spices very great store. And precious stones, there came no more such abundance of spices as these which the queen of Sheba gave to King Solomon. And the navy also of Hiram that brought gold from Ophir, brought in from Ophir great plenty of almug trees and precious stones. And the king made of the almug trees pillars for the house of the Lord and for the king's house. Harps also and psalteries for singers. They came no such almug trees, nor were seen unto this day. Amen. And King Solomon gave unto the queen of Sheba all her desire, whatsoever she asked. And besides that which Solomon gave her of his royal bounty, so she turned and went to her own country, she and her servants.
Yeah.
Boy, I like that.
Yeah.
I really do. And I just want God to help me to preach it tonight to where you like it, to where it'll mean something to you. You see, it's estimated that, and they don't know exactly where the Queen of Sheba came from, but they estimated it was probably about 1,200 miles from where King Solomon was, and probably they said it would have taken her about a year to make that journey. And she didn't come by herself, you know. She came and had a lot of people with them, and the Bible says she brought much people, a whole train full of people. But I want you to think just a minute. If we're going to look at this as a picture of the Queen of Sheba as being a lost sinner, and of Solomon being a picture or a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're going to look at how this can apply and how we can make some sense out of it that will make a difference in our hearts and in our lives. I'm glad today that my Savior came down from glory. He left alone. Not like the Queen of Sheba, but He left alone. And He left all His riches behind. She brought all that gold and silver and all those spices and all that stuff with her. But my king, he left all those things behind. Now, it may have taken her a year to come that 1,200 miles and go back home, but my Savior came farther than 1,200 miles, and He stayed longer than a year. He stayed about 33 years, to be exact, and before He returned back to where He came from. He left the perfection of heaven, and He came to the very pits of depravity, and He stayed here for those 33 years to purchase our salvation.
Amen.
To live the perfect life, and did everything that He did so that we can have heaven as our home. He did it all to save us from the hell that we deserve.
Amen. Amen.
He did every bit of it to save us from the hell. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians verse 9:15, thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift.
Amen.
Thanks be unto God. You know, if you come into the Lord's house and you don't have anything else to say in the service, you ought to just stand up and say, thank you, Lord, for Your blessings on me. Thank you, God, for what You've done in my life. You know, we think about it. We look at these things. And the Queen of Sheba came with all of her wealth. She came because she had heard of the words of Solomon. She had heard of the wisdom of Solomon, and she had heard of the riches of Solomon.
Yes.
Now I'm going to tell you tonight, if Solomon represents Jesus Christ, you need to think about the words of Jesus Christ.
Right.
You need to think about the wisdom of Jesus Christ. You need to think about the wealth of Jesus Christ and how we need to worship Jesus Christ because of what He has done for us and what He has paid for us to adopt us into His family. It says, when the Queen of Sheba, verse 1, heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord.
Yes.
Now you see, this wasn't about Solomon.
Right.
We're not here to magnify Solomon tonight. We're here to magnify the Lord.
Right.
We're here to magnify the one who He represents, the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. And if you're here and lost, you're wannabe Savior. The one who wants to lift you from your destiny and give you a punch ticket, paid ticket to heaven. But she came because she heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord. You know, I think Solomon lived his life the way every Christian ought to live their life. I think he talked about God all the time. And I probably will use Jesus intermittently with Word God, but they're the same. Okay? I know Jesus hadn't made His appearance. You don't have to tell me that when you leave tonight. But I get mixed up sometimes, and I use Jesus, and sometimes I put Moses in the lion's den, and just all kinds of stuff. But I believe that he spent his life talking about who the God is and what He is. But she came to prove Him with hard questions. You know, that's what I have found more abundant than anything else when I'm talking to a lost person, is they got a bunch of questions that I don't have the answer to.
Right.
That's right.
Right.
I've not yet come to the point where I know it all.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
I had a wise old lady in a church that I pastored at one time. She said, "Preacher," she said, when you come to somebody that asks you a question, she said, "You just tell them, I don't know the answer."
Yeah.
But then she said, "Then you tell them, but if it's really important to you, I'll go back and check it out and I'll come back and talk with you."
Right.
So I don't know it all. Don't pretend to know it all. But she came with all of her hard questions. Now, I know that in biblical times and times like this, they loved riddles. I mean, it was a thing that they did. They had riddles that, you know, they wanted people to solve and all that. I don't believe that's what this is talking about. I believe she came with heartfelt questions. I believe if you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, that you undoubtedly have some heartfelt questions way down deep inside about what it means to be saved and how you can get saved and how you can live saved and all of those things. And the best I can tell you is this, is you just got to taste and see. Just taste and see that the Lord's good. That He can do everything that He promised that He could do. And just think about it tonight, okay? Think about how good God is. In verse 2 it says, "And she came to Jerusalem with a very great train, camels that bear spices and stones, precious stones and all of that. And when she was come to Solomon, she communed with him of all that was in her heart." Everything that was in her heart. You hearing lost tonight? You got a lot of things in your heart. I know you do. I told you last night, I think, that I, you know, when I got saved, all I wanted was saved. That's all I wanted. I just wanted to be saved. But I had, even then, I had questions.
Amen.
Sure. But the questions get answered as time goes on.
Right.
Just like Solomon answered all of her questions. You see, that's what Jesus can do for you.
Amen.
He can answer all your hard questions.
Yes.
He's got the answer to everything.
Yes.
I mean, I'd like Him to play Wheel of Fortune or whatever it is. I'd like to see Him play a good game of that. And because He knows the answer before you even got the question. Before you even thought of the question, He's got the answer. And then it says in verse 3, it says, "And Solomon told her all her questions. There was not anything hid from the king which he told her not." You see?
Yeah, that's good.
Jesus knows all about you. I couldn't put a name to probably a dozen people in this sanctuary tonight. I don't know anything about most of you. And what I do know about some of you, I do soon not know. Okay? But Jesus knows everything about you. You're here and you don't know Him as your personal Savior. You've never trusted Him. You've never asked Jesus to save your soul. But He knows everything about you.
Yes, sir.
You don't have to come up here tonight or sit back there and confess every sin that you've ever done.
Amen. Right. No way. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. There's no way. I told you the other night, I was 28 years. I had 28 years of sinning behind me. I couldn't have told every sin I'd ever done. I could have spent the rest of my life trying to remember every sin I'd done. But Jesus knows all about you, just like Solomon knew all the answers to the questions, because nothing was hid from him, and nothing was hid from him because he had asked the right question of God when he asked God to give him wisdom and understanding. God can abundantly bless you. Abundantly bless you. You don't have to live on the scraps from the table. You can sit at the king's table and dine on the feast that's prepared before you. Brother, it's good to be a child of God. It's good to know that your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. It's good to know that you're going to heaven. It's good to know that you're a part of the family of God. It's good to know that you're adopted into the family and that your adoption papers are sealed. And that nothing can ever, what can separate us from the love of God? Nothing can. Neither height, nor depth, nor anything else. And I can't even remember that scripture right now. But nothing, nothing can separate you from the love of God.
Amen. Yes, good.
Verse number 4. And when the queen of Sheba had seen all Solomon's wisdom and the house that he had built, and the meat of his table, and the sitting of his servants, and the attendance of his ministers, and their apparel, and his cupbearers, and his ascent by which he went up into the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her.
Yeah.
You see, you got to come to the end of yourself.
Amen.
Come to the end of yourself. You've got to get to the point that you know, I can't do this by myself. I can't do this on my own. She was humbled. I was humbled in the presence of an almighty Savior the evening that I asked Jesus Christ to come into my life. I was humbled. I was brought low. I didn't have any more answers. I didn't even have any questions right at that particular time other than, Jesus, will you save me?
Amen. Amen.
Jesus, will you save me? And He did.
Yeah.
And He has.
Amen.
And He will.
Yes.
And any other verb or action word you can put in there. Brother, it's a done deal.
Right.
It's not up for guesswork.
Right. That is right.
Amen.
It's solid.
Right.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness.
Yes,
brought me up out of the miry pit and set my feet on a solid rock.
Right.
Yes, a solid rock. No shifting. Everything's moving in this world today except my Savior. He's not about to move. You know, we sing that song sometimes about standing on the promises. Well, I'm afraid some church has been standing on the promises way too long.
Yeah.
Need to move off the promises. Brother Roger back there was telling me his wife was laughing last week when I preached revival in Cedarville. I said something about some churches need to quit calling themselves missionary Baptist churches and call themselves stationary Baptist churches.
Yeah. Amen.
Because that's what a lot of our churches have become, is stationary Baptist churches. They're tickled to death to come into God's house, get preached to, and go home and eat dinner and come back Sunday night, but don't ask them to do anything beyond that.
Yeah.
Don't ask them to do anything beyond that. I tell you what, we're going to get on. Y'all going to get mad at me before this is over with.
You're good.
It says here, and I just kind of read over it real quick, that he saw their apparel. Now I'm going to get out in dangerous ground right now, okay? Dangerous territory. But I believe that God's house ought to be the best house in the community.
Yes, amen.
I believe it ought to be the cleanest house.
Yes, amen.
I believe the lawn ought to be mowed. I believe the paint needs to be kept up, the mold washed off, and everything else. Because when new people are coming to church, that's the first thing they're going to see.
Yes, sir.
Right.
But not only do I believe this house ought to be better than your house.
Amen. Amen.
I really do. But I'm going to start meddling, okay? Queen of Sheba saw their apparel.
That's
That's right.
Yeah. Amen.
I believe when you come to God's house, you ought to wear the best you got.
Amen. Amen.
Now, not everybody's got a suit. I'm not talking about suits, okay?
Right.
But I think that if you honor the Lord and you honor His house, that you ought to come wearing the very best you got. You may have to wear it Sunday after Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. That's okay. If the best is you got is an old holy pair of blue jeans and a t-shirt, that's what I'm talking about. But you ought to put on the best you got when you, because He gave the best He had for you.
Amen.
I was preaching revival over in Grantsville sometime in the past, last year. And there was a young man there that one night, and he had on a pair of work boots, not ankle high, but calf high. Had on a pair of shorts and an old raggedy t-shirt. And I preached that night and had the privilege of leading the Lord on the church steps after the service was over. And I talked with him, and I took him back into the pastor's study there and talked with him a little bit. And he said, "Preacher," he said, "this is all the clothes I've got."
Yeah.
He said, I don't have anything any better. I didn't say anything to him about his clothes now. Don't misunderstand me. He was just telling me. He said, this is the best I've got.
Yeah.
And so I talked with the pastor, and I told the pastor about it. And I told him, I said, I want you to come tomorrow evening a little early. And so he came the next evening, and he came a little early, and the pastor and I sat down with him in the study, and we gave him some help right there in the study. And then the service started, and the pastor talked to the church, and he told him this young man's situation. He didn't have a job, had PTSD, had been in jail, just numerous things. And I'm going to tell you what, they got together that night, and they took up an offering. And they gave that young man that offering and several hundred dollars. And then they come around and they just loved on him.
Right. Right.
Yeah. I mean, brother, they just come and they wrapped their arms around. He wasn't the cleanest feller you ever met. He didn't smell the nicest that you'd ever smelled. But that group of people in that church just wrapped him up in the arms of love and loved on him. And he came back to me when the service was over. And he said to me, he said, "Preacher, I have never in my life felt as loved as I feel tonight." Now that's the way the family of God operates.
Amen.
That's exactly the way the family of God operates. This backbiting criticism, talking about your neighbor, this garbage ought to be put out with the garbage every day and let somebody take it and dump it in a landfill somewhere. But the Queen of Sheba, she saw how Solomon's, even his servants, even his people that waited on him, how blessed they were. Let me tell you something. If you'll just receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have no idea how blessed you're going to be.
Amen.
How good God's going to be to you. You ain't never had anybody love on you. If you had a loving mom and a loving dad, you've never had anybody love on you the way Jesus is going to love on you. He's going to just wrap you up in His arms and just hold you close and just whisper sweet nothings in your ear. And say, "You belong to me now. You're mine. You're going home with me. I'm taking you home with me one of these days." Just like He did old Moses over there. When Moses got to look over in the promised land, the Lord told him, said, "Well, you can look, but you ain't going." God just gave him a shortcut home. That's all He did. He just gave him a shortcut home. Just took him on. Boy, I'm thankful that He did. She heard of the wealth that he had. You know, my Savior owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. I'm telling you, He's good, friends. You need to know Him. You really do. You need to know Him. I need to get back in the book. There was no more spirit in her. When you come to the end of yourself, you know the old saying is, when you come to the end of the rope, tie a knot and hold on. But what I'm saying tonight is, when you come to the end of your rope, turn loose and let God.
Yeah, that's good.
Let go and let God.
Amen.
God will catch you.
Yes, sir.
God will catch you.
Bless
you, God. And He'll take care of you.
Yes.
All right, verse number 6 says, "And she said to the king, 'It is a true report that I heard in mine own land of their acts, of thy acts and of thy wisdom.'"
Yeah.
You know, that tells me that somebody's been talking about God.
Yeah.
I mean, that's verse 1 said that she came because concerning the name of the Lord. You know, that's what Christian people ought to be doing. They ought to be talking about the name of the Lord. Not talking about their neighbor. Not talking about old so-and-so, but talking about the name of the Lord. I tell you, there's nobody like Him anywhere. Just like Queen of Sheba, I got interested in Him because I heard people talking about Him. I heard people that I knew, people that I liked, people that I trusted. I heard them talking about Him, and it piqued my interest. I wanted to know more about Him. Not only did I want to know more about Him, I wanted to know Him. Now, Bible knowledge is good, but knowing the Savior is something totally different. There's a lot of people know a lot of Bible that know nothing about being saved. They can quote you chapter and verse. They probably quote more scripture than what I can. But they've never admitted their need for a Savior. They're trusting in their knowledge, trusting in their wisdom, trusting in what they know to get them to heaven. And it has never worked that way, and it never will. Verse 7. "Howbeit I believed not the words until I came." You see, whether you believe me tonight or not, when I tell you that there is a Savior that stands with His arms wide open saying, "Come unto me all you that labor and are heavy laden and I'll give you rest." Whether you believe me or not, I have no idea. I know how the devil works. He'll tell you not to believe me. He'll tell you not to pay any attention to me. But I'm here to tell you that I'm just trying to give you what God's given me.
Amen.
But that Savior stands before you tonight and just says, "Come to me. Come to me." And if you'll just come to Him, if you'll put aside everything that's holding you back. And just come to Jesus. "I believe not the words." That's why I told you what just a while ago, you got to taste and see. You'll never know what a banana tastes like unless you taste it.
Yeah.
I mean, I could spend the rest of my life trying to describe the taste of a banana to you, and you'll never know unless you taste it.
Yeah.
I can preach till I'm blue in the face telling you how much God loves you and how much He wants to save you.
Yeah.
And that He's got a place, that He'll prepare a place for you, and He'll take you to live with Him forever. I can tell you that till I'm blue in the face. But until you taste and see, until you experience it for yourself, I don't understand. I really don't. And I believe this is true of every Christian. I don't understand what it is that keeps lost people from getting saved. I just don't understand it. But the devil's good at what he does. He tells you got more time. He tells you, "You can do it another time. What is thy life? It's even a vapor that's here for just a little while and then it vanishes away."
That's right.
You may never darken the doors of a church again.
That's right.
This may be your last altar call. Well, I love that old song about the last altar call. This may be the last invitation you'll ever hear. This may be the last sermon I ever preach. Have no idea. But if it is, I want it to be true to the Word of God. He says in verse 7, "Howbeit I believed not the words until I came and mine eyes had seen it." Seen it. You see, Christians, the world needs to see something in us. They need to see something in us. Not of the world, but something of that heavenly nature. They need to see that Jesus has made a difference. That we're not the same person we used to be.
Amen.
We need to talk him up.
Yeah.
Every chance that we get. She said, mine eyes had seen it, and behold, the half was not told me. We could park here for about a half hour.
Yeah.
The very best I can do, the very best I've ever done, the very best I ever will do would not even be half
Amen.
Of who He is and what
Yes.
He is.
Amen.
Won't even be half. Won't be a smidgen of who and what He is.
Amen.
And the difference that He can make in your life.
Amen.
The way He can turn your life around. The way He can make something out of you.
Right.
Something beautiful. Something useful.
Amen.
Don't worry. Don't worry about living the Christian life. Worry about becoming a Christian.
Amen.
And once you become a Christian, you're going to have somebody to help you every step of the way. Somebody that's going to stick closer to you than a brother. Somebody that's going to carry you through the low places. Somebody that's going to help you when the road gets rough. Somebody that's going to be there for you when the sorrow seems to overwhelm you. Think about it tonight.
Amen.
The half was not told me. Thy wisdom and prosperity exceeded the fame which I had heard. The wisdom of God pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe.
Amen.
That's wisdom of God. You see, that's how shall they hear without a preacher,
right.
The Bible says. Now, I am not the best preacher, never was the best preacher, never will be a best preacher. But I do know this, God called me to
Yes.
preach.
Yes.
I've got a BA degree in preaching, born again.
Yes. Amen.
Born again.
Yes.
I got saved by the blood of the Lamb, been
Yes.
born again.
Yes.
I know who I'm talking about. Like I said last night, I know whom I have believed.
Amen.
And I'm persuaded, brother, that He's able.
Right.
I don't have anything to do with it from this point on out.
Amen.
He did it all. He did it all for me. And He did it all for you.
Amen.
Did it all for you. Let's go on, okay? Happy are thy men. Happy are these thy servants which stand continually before thee and hear thy wisdom. I like a church full of happy Christians. I believe the Bible still says that a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. But I tell you, some of you ought to hunt that up. You ought to underline that in your Bible. Know where it's at.
Yeah.
A merry heart doeth good like a medicine.
Amen.
You don't have to come into God's house with the burdens of the world on your shoulder.
Amen.
You're saved. You're a child of the King. You ought to be happy. You ought to let your mouth know every once in a while that you're happy.
Amen.
Let your face know.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Let your neighbor know. Let God know.
Amen.
God, I'm happy to be your child. I'm happy to be saved. I'm happy to know heaven's my home. I am thankful and I'm happy. And they said, and it says, and they stand continually before thee and that hear thy wisdom. Every day I can pick this old book up and I can hear from my Lord. Every day, continually, I can hear from my God. He speaks to me. His Word speaks to me. This is a living thing. Amen. I don't believe in Oral Roberts and God standing 12 feet tall and giving him some kind of dream or something like that, you know. I believe God still speaks in that still, small voice. That you'll never hear Him unless you get quiet. Unless you shut out the things of the world. Turn off the worries. Turn off the sorrow and the concerns and the burdens and all that. Lay all that aside and then you'll hear from God.
Yeah.
God will give you the encouragement that you need and that I need. Just think about it. Talking a while ago about how the Bible says, who hath believed our report?
Right. Yeah.
I'm trying to preach about Jesus, but who hath believed our report?
Right. Amen.
Yeah.
Let's go on. Blessed be the Lord thy God, which delighteth in thee. You know what she didn't say? She didn't say, blessed be Solomon.
No.
She said, blessed be the Lord thy God. I read something. just briefly today, because I've been studying on this all day, but just briefly today, it said that they didn't think the Queen of Sheba was saved. Well, I tell you what, if she wasn't saved, I'd like to run into a bunch of Christians that felt like she felt when this was all over.
Yeah. Amen.
Right. See, I'm going to tell you something right now, and I hope to bring it to your attention in a little bit when it comes to invitation time. She didn't leave the way she came.
Amen. 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 Nope.
She didn't leave the way she came.
That's good.
That's right.
Yeah.
See, that's our motto this week. That's our theme this week. Don't leave the way you came.
Yes, sir.
Come as you are, but don't leave the way you came.
Amen.
Don't leave carrying all that junk with you.
Yes, sir.
Blessed be the Lord thy God, which delighteth in thee. God loves you.
Yes.
Child of God, unsaved, God loves you.
That's right.
Mark it down. To set thee on the throne of Israel, because the Lord loved Israel forever. Therefore made he the king to do judgment and justice. And then she gave the king. I'm not going to read all that. I couldn't translate it in today's money anyway. But you know what she did? She gave the king everything she brought with her.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amen. Yep. She gave the king everything she brought with her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When I was a kid in grade school, we used to drop pocket knives.
Yeah.
You men do crazy.
Everybody in the world had a worse pocket knife than I did. I never got a better pocket knife than what I dropped. But every once in a while, somebody would get a good pocket knife. All that God wants you to do tonight, just as simple as I know how to make it, all God wants you to do tonight is lay down everything you brought.
Right.
Yep.
Yes. Yes, sir.
Yes.
Just lay down everything you brought. All the sin, all the unbelief,
right.
All the sorrow, all the questions, lay down everything you brought and come to Jesus.
Yes. Amen. Amen.
Just come to Jesus.
Yes.
That's all. That's what we're here for.
Yes,
that's why the church pays the light bill. It is.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, that's why, you know, that's why they've got a big parking lot. That's why they're wanting to build a bigger church. Because they want more people to come to Jesus.
Yep.
They want to expand the kingdom of God. Old Queen of Sheba, she came and she gave all this, what she gave to him, an abundance of spices and all that, and gave it to King Solomon and all the rest of the stuff that came in by ship. And tells what the king did with that stuff. You know, if you just give God what you've got, you'll be amazed with what God can do with it.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Remember that rod? Remember that rod that Moses had?
Yeah.
God said, throw it down.
Yeah.
And he did.
Yeah.
And that turned into a serpent, didn't it?
Yeah.
But then later on, he told Moses to pick it up.
Right.
That's right, he did.
Now somebody might be here tonight and you might be playing in a rock and roll band.
Right.
You might be playing music in a beer joint somewhere. But I'm here to tell you tonight, if you just take whatever talent you've got and lay it down,
right,
God might let you pick it back up and use it for His honor. Amen. And His glory.
Amen.
Yeah, that's good.
Use it for His honor and His glory. You might get to continue to play the guitar,
yeah,
but you might get to do it for the Lord now.
Yeah.
You may sing or yodel or whatever it may be, but if you just lay it down and give it to God, God might let you pick it back up and use your voice to glorify Him and praise Him because of who He is and what He is and what He's done. Oh, the half has never been told. I tell you, we could go all night just talking about Him. She gave all of those things to Him and presented Him all those gifts. Then let's look at verse 13. Then I like this verse too. I like all of them. It says, and King Solomon gave unto the Queen of Sheba all her desire.
Yeah, man.
I know you get tired of hearing me say it, but I just keep thinking it. I'm going to keep saying it. When I got saved, I just wanted to be saved.
Yeah.
And God gave me all of my desires.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Gave me all. I didn't want to be a preacher.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't. Probably nobody else in here has been called to preach wanted to be a preacher.
Amen.
But when you lay down what you've got. You see, God doesn't use anything except broken stuff.
Yes, that's true.
If you ain't broke, God ain't got no use for you.
Amen.
That's good.
You say, preacher, what do you mean broke? Have you ever been broken?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
You say, well, I don't know. Well, if you don't know, I got an answer for you, okay? I'm not Solomon, but I can answer your question. If you don't know if you've ever been broken, you've never been broken.
That's right. That's right.
Because when God breaks you, you'll never forget it.
Yes. Amen.
You know how you buy a team of horses or a horse and you break them to harness or break them to a bridle or a saddle or whatever it may be. You work with them and all that and then get them to a place where they're willing to do what you want them to do.
Yeah.
That's the same thing of being broken for God.
Amen.
When your spirit gets broken to where no longer about yourself, but it's about what your master wants you to do, and you're willing to do what your master calls upon you to do, that's the point of brokenness in your life. And that's when God will really begin to use you. Now that doesn't mean God doesn't have a place for you. God has a place for you. But God didn't save you just to sit in a church pew. That was not His sole reason for saving you. Think about it. All that you've ever heard about Jesus is true. His power, His glory, His honor, I mean, all of it is true. Solomon gave unto the Queen of Sheba all her desire, whatsoever she asked, beside that which Solomon gave her of his royal bounty. Woo! I tell you what, God gave me part of His royal bounty. I'm a child of the King. His royal blood now flows in my veins. Oh, I tell you, He gave me of His riches.
Yes, sir.
He gave me of His bounty. He gave me of His blessings. He gave me of His peace. He gave me of His joy. He gave me of His comfort. He gave me everything I'm ever going to need in this life. He gave it to me out of His bounty.
Yes, sir.
It's just because God's good.
Yes, amen.
Just because He wanted to.
Yes.
He just wanted to bless this old child of the King. Just like He wants to bless you.
Yes, sir.
That's right.
Just like He wants to bless you.
Bless Him, Lord.
Gave her out of His own bounty.
Yeah, amen.
So she turned and went to her own country, she and her servants. That's the end of the Queen of Sheba.
Yeah.
So you get over into the book of Matthew and the book of Mark, and both books say the same thing, just a word or two different. It said that the Queen of Sheba is going to stand in judgment. That tells me that she was born again. That tells me that she trusted Jesus Christ. Because you don't stand in judgment unless you are born of the King.
Good.
Now, I know the Bible doesn't say that. You say, well, preacher, you're presuming things. I'm not presuming anything. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. That she's going to stand in judgment.
Right.
Well, that's it. She's going to stand in judgment. I read the footnotes in my Bible. I felt like tearing them out.
Yeah.
I really did.
Yeah.
I felt like the old king did. I felt like taking my penknife and opening it up and just cutting that section of footnotes. Really? Craziest stuff I ever read in my life.
Yeah.
Just distorted the whole story of Solomon and Sheba.
Yeah.
Made it all about commerce and selling and buying and, you know, and all that stuff. You know, we're not here to sell anything.
That's right. Amen. That is right.
We're here to tell you that there's something free.
Amen.
Something free. And all you have to do is receive it.
Yes, amen.
Just receive it. Oh, it's so simple. Why is it, preachers, that when we do the best job we can do, that we still don't feel like it's enough?
Right. Right.
We feel like we still don't make it simple enough.
Right.
And easy enough to understand that the lost will just simply put their trust in Jesus.
Yeah, man.
I don't want your praise. I don't want your accolades. I don't want any of that. I want to see you saved.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I want to see you come to Jesus.
Yes.
I want to see you know where you're going to spend eternity.
Amen.
I want you to come to Jesus.
Yes, sir.
Solomon and Sheba, what a story. She had heard of his wealth. My king owns it all, brother.
Yes, sir.
She heard of his wisdom.
Yes.
He knows it all. Not only does he have it all, but he knows it all.
Yes, sir.
She had heard of his works. She knew. She had heard about Solomon building the temple and Solomon building the big castle, mansion, whatever it is, Solomon's house that he lived in, and all of that. And she had heard about Solomon going into the Lord's house every day and worshiping the Lord. But she had heard of the works of Solomon. I tell you what, the works of my Savior is all you need.
Right.
His wealth, he owns it all. His wisdom, he knows it all. His works, he did it all. He did it all.
Yes,
nothing left for you to do but believe. That's all. Solomon, she heard of about the way he worshipped, and you know that's what God wants from us. He wants us to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Worship Him in spirit and in truth. That's not too much to ask, is it?
That's right.
Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. Just think about it just for a little while tonight. He was more wealthy than she had heard. He was wiser than what she had heard. He was more wonderful than what she had heard.
That's right.
Yeah.
Even his servants were happy and blessed. That's you and I, friends. Christians, that's you and I. Happy and blessed. That's who we are.
Yes, sir.
That's who we ought to be.
Yes, sir.
I have never yet met a Christian that was sorry they got saved. But I have met some sorry Christians.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Been ones.
I have met some sorry Christians.
Yes.
Never met one that was sorry that they ever received Jesus Christ as their Savior.
Right.
Never met one that ever wanted to go back into that life of sin. Think about it tonight.
Yes.
Think about what God would have you to do. What God wants from you. The Queen of Sheba was convinced that there was nobody like Solomon.
Right.
And I stand before you tonight and I tell you that I am thoroughly 100% from the bottom of my feet to the top of my head convinced that there's nobody like Him. That the half has never yet been told of how good He is. You think about it tonight, will you? Let's bow our heads together. People are happy when they come to Jesus. I've seen it time and time again. And I know Mark and Roby and Lynn and others, just see people that are just thrilled that that burden has been lifted from thee.
Yeah.
And the reason you're so happy is just in that instant you know that your sins are gone.
Yes, sir.
Right.
You know that your name has been written in heaven. So tonight, just bring your sins and your old life and just give them to God.
Yeah. Yeah, amen.
And see what God gives you in return.
Yeah.
Just lay them down. Nobody looking around, heads bowed and eyes closed. How about you tonight? Listen, my friend, if God's dealing with your heart, tonight It's why God brought you to this place. It's why He brought you to this congregation in this house tonight. So you can get your heart right with God. I'm going to ask it. I'm not going to tarry all night. I'm not going to go on and on and on. I believe in giving the Holy Spirit time to work. But I'm not going to tarry just for the sake of waiting. But if you're here and you don't know my Savior, why don't you just get up out of your seat and just start down the aisle? I'll meet you halfway. I'll meet you halfway. If I don't meet you, Brother Mark will. We'll kneel with you right there, or we'll bring you up here to the altar, or we'll go back to your pew, whatever it may be. But you see, you've got a choice to make. Don't leave here the way you came. Queen of Sheba went home a changed person. She had met somebody that knew it all. Somebody that had done it all. Somebody that could give her all that she ever needed. Why don't you leave a changed person tonight? Why don't you come right now? Christians, how about you? You know, if you're going to have revival, you're going to have to use this altar.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
If you don't use the altar, you're never going to have revival.
Amen.
I mean, that's just... If we can't admit that we need God's help in our life, we're never going to have revival. How about it tonight? Anybody? Anybody like to join those that have come to the altar this evening and find you an altar of prayer? And just simply say, God, I know I'm not all that I should be, all that I could be, but Lord, I want to do better. I want to be better. God, I've let you down. Lord, I've come up short. Lord, I haven't done my part to carry the load. I haven't talked about my Lord enough. I haven't talked about Jesus enough that people 1,200 miles away might hear about how good He is. I haven't done that in my life, Lord, but I want to start doing that. But God, I need some help. God, I need some help. I'm weak. I'm afraid sometimes. God, I worry about things and I just don't trust you the way I should. How about you this evening? Come and find you an altar of prayer. Would you do that? Would you just come this evening? Whatever your needs might be, whatever they are, I've got a God who knows the answer. I've got a God who can be the answer to whatever the problem you might have. You just think on it this evening. What number have you got?
282.
282? 282. Let's stand. Let's sing.